One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Jesus spent nearly 33 years on this earth, and when he left, he had not even won the people in the world at that time to himself. Fact is, they crucified him. The Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power, or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, Jesus was the best man that ever lived. He's the only good man that was ever born. Every other man that's ever been born was a bad man or a bad baby, as we said, or depraved in sin. Well, you'd say, what about Adam? Adam wasn't born, he's made. And Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But did you know that after Jesus had healed the sick and made no charge, had raised the dead, he made no charge. He fed the multitudes, he made no charge. He opened blinded eyes, he made no charge. He unstopped deaf ears, he loosed dumb tongues, he straightened out crooked limbs. He performed every miracle, met every need of the human heart in the 3 years of his public ministry. And yet, do you realize that on his way to the cross, he asked an unusual question when he said, will ye also go away? Now, the Bible said many went back and walked with him no more. Now, what was it that lost his followers? His word. His word. The one thing that made Jesus different from any man that ever lived was his word. He spoke with authority, not as one of the scribes. Why, when they sent people to arrest him, officers, I mean, they must have had swords or spears or sticks or staves and all sorts of the weapons that they used in those days. They went and to arrest Jesus. And when they came back and the authorities said, where is he? Well, they said, we don't have him. You mean you couldn't find him? They said, sir, we didn't say we couldn't find him. We did find him. He said, you mean you located him and you didn't arrest him and bring him back like we told? No, sir, said, we didn't bring him back. Said, what's the excuse? Never a man spake like that man. We didn't have any handcuffs that go on that word he's speaking. We had no chain that would chain that word he's speaking. We couldn't do a thing about it. Preachers, let me say again tonight, there's one thing that's to distinguish us, and that's the book. We're to be men of one book, just men of one book. That's, now, you don't have to know what the newspaper says. And people said, well, did you see on television? No, well, who cares? I mean, you didn't miss anything. Stay with the book. Amen. I mean, just be a man of one book. Just get the book. Memorize the book. Memorize the book. I was told by a dear friend, and I just met him, and he was very sincere, and he had some fear, because there's so much divisive messages going on and everything. He said, now, if you will, just talk with us about dope addiction, but don't mention Christ, or because we know he's the answer. We understand that. We know that, see. And you know, that reminds me of calling the doctor and saying, now, doctor, my wife's real sick, but don't mention getting her well here. I mean, don't talk about what you're going to do to get her well. Please don't mention that, see, while you're here. Amen. Now, brother, I can't go talk about the disease without giving the cure. And if somehow the building that fell in today, I'd have still told them Christ is the only hope. My little old girls came up to me and said, Daddy, they called me Daddy, said, Daddy, I see it. That's it. I mean, you gave it today. See, well, of course, I brag on them too. You know, I said, well, you sang well and so forth. But they know when you preach the gospel. Amen. See, that's what it takes to save. If you ever get saved, you'll know the gospel next time you meet it. Amen. I mean, you'll know the gospel when you hear it preached. And you'll know there's not anything else but the gospel that's worth preaching. And so tonight I've come to the message on what in the world is the church doing in the world? And then I'd like to ask another question. What in the world is the world doing in the church? Just who put the world in the church? I know who put the church in the world. And I can announce also who put the world in the church, and that's the devil. But somebody had to permit it. And so, in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, we have these words. Jesus, when he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, verse 13, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, verse 14, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Could I stop long enough to say that the man here that can read has a mighty good chance to learn the truth if you're saved? Did you know that the Bible is not an explanation but a revelation? Did you know that there's not a man in this choir among all of our preachers that can explain the Bible? It takes the Holy Spirit to reveal the Bible. Amen. That's the reason everybody has a chance. If you'll pray, if you let Jesus save you and let the Holy Spirit become the built-in teacher, then you can learn the Word of God. And so he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. You know, if I put that in modern phraseology, he'd say, you didn't get that off at college. You didn't get that in the schoolroom. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I'm preaching tonight on the most unique organization in the world. I'd like to call it an organism, really, because it's got life in it, or ought to have. The most unique, the most unusual. Now, the distinction of the church is its differences from the world. When the church gets like the world, then the world doesn't have a New Testament church in it. The church is to be the most different thing in the world, and I'm going to show you why in the Word of God in a little bit. Now, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. That's one reason she's different. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to the Masons. He didn't say, I'm going to give it to the Kiwanis Club or the Optimist Club. Of course, I'm a member of the Optimist Club, Heaven's Optimist Club. I'm very optimistic. I really am, because I'm looking for Jesus any day. That'd make an optimist out of anybody. Amen. I mean, I'm living on the victory side, and God promises me and guarantees to me victory every day of my life. That makes me an optimist. Sometimes you think I'm a little pessimistic because I tell the truth. Well, I just believe that we ought to see sin like it is, but I'm optimistic in that I know that every Christian is going to be raptured and he's going to get to be with the Lord forever. But he said, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I tell you, we need to read that sort of slow. We need to drive slow when we go down that street. I'll guarantee you that's the most serious charge God ever gave the church. He said, I'm giving you the keys. He didn't give them to Peter. He gave them to the church. I'm going to tell you why. Turn to John 20:20, and this will explain it. John 20:20. I'll show you exactly what he meant. I mean, this just explains it as well. Tells me exactly what he's talking about. Beginning at verse 20, when he'd so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Same commission. Think about it. Just like my Father sent me, I'm sending you. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. All right. Verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You say, what's the explanation? It's real plain. The Holy Spirit is to fill the church. and every member of the church. He's the one that unlocks. I don't unlock anybody's door. The mayor gave me a key, and he was kind. He said, I hope with this key, and it'll be a symbol, you'll unlock the hearts of the people for Jesus. It's a good thought. But I'll never unlock the hearts of the people unless the Holy Spirit does the unlocking. You're condemned in sin, born in sin, practice sin, and get worse in sin until the Holy Spirit comes. And so he said, I'm going to build my church upon this rock. You say, what was the rock? Why, dear friends, there's no room to argue about that. That's Jesus. Why, the Bible said that rock which followed them was Christ. Oh, the foundation, can no man lay, see that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. That's a rock.
Amen.
It's a rock. Why, no doubt about that at all. And so the church, it has a wonderful foundation. It's built on Christ. Now then, I want to talk with you about why it's the most unique organization or organism in the world. Number one, it has the most different and unusual head. Jesus said he's the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. That'd just about solve all of our problems if we'd let the head run the church. Because, you know, the head's where the brains are, isn't that right? That's where the eyes are. And that's where the tongue is. The head is to speak and to guide and to direct the church. Jesus is the head of the church. No doubt about that. Second, the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the church. Did you know the Holy Spirit's the only one? Jesus is not in the world today except through the Holy Spirit and His Word. Why, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, because I go to my Father. Because I go to my Father. Now, you know what he meant? Why, he said when he left, I'm going to give you a going away present. I'm going to send you another comforter. And when he has come, he'll guide you into all truth. That's truth. You know what truth is? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and he'll guide you right into me. I mean, you'll just go. What, when the Holy Spirit got a hold of Saul of Tarsus, what did he do? He met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Where did the Holy Spirit get a hold of Saul of Tarsus? While he's holding the clothes of the people that stoned Deacon Stephen to death. Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and he thought he'd go over there and kill the rest of the Christians or bring them back bound to Jerusalem. And Jesus met him on the Damascus Road and said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Isn't that what religion has to say? Why, religion doesn't know the Lord. I'd say, without a doubt, the biggest enemy to Christ is organized religion. That means dead religion. I hate liquor. I hate cigarettes. I hate all the dopes. I really do. I hate what this dope business is doing to our young people and mothers and dads. And I hate it with a passion. But there's one thing that I know is the biggest enemy that Christ ever had, and that's religion. A lot of you people sitting around some old, cold, dead churches, and your preacher couldn't even mock a preacher. I mean, you never get the gospel preached, nobody gets saved, but you said, well, Uncle John ain't Emmer went there, and I'm going to go myself. They might have had groceries when Uncle John ain't Emmer went. It don't take me long to quit a grocery store when they run out of groceries. Let me go in and find nothing but roaches and rotten potatoes, and I'll tell you, I'll bid them goodbye. You ought to do the same about your spiritual food, too. You'd say, now you're causing trouble. No, I'm not causing trouble except for the martyrs and the deadheads and the world. They'll take you to hell if you stay with them anyhow. Why don't you get away from them? Just preaching to you, if a building's on fire, get out of it. If a building's caving in, get out of it. And I believe that God's people, you mothers and daddies, and let me say something else. Well, Brother Roloff, we go down to this church and over to that church because they have such a recreation program for my children. Yeah. You better spell that W-R-E-C-K here. That'll wreck them. You think your children are going to play their way to heaven? I passed a certain church in this city. And I looked and I saw the young people are walking in. Little old girls, I mean grown girls, had on shorts. I mean, wasn't dressed with enough clothes to go to bed in and cover up with two sheets. And others are going in with their little silly slacks on, looking like a bunch of boys. I mean, the Bible says it's an abomination. I don't call that a church. I call that a sort of a play pretty house, just having a time. I believe we ought to clean up the churches today. I know when you preach like this, they say, yep, that's it, that evangelist, he came in here and made trouble. I haven't made any trouble for people that love God. Oh, listen, dear friends, our churches ought to dress different. They ought to talk different and walk different and smell different and live different. If they're saved, they will. Amen. The church is different. That's what I'm trying to say. And when the church, you hear me, when the church got to where she was just like the world quit coming. Am I right? The churches are dead and empty today. Wednesday night's a joke. The average church don't even have prayer meeting. Why, you couldn't get a half a dozen of your church members hardly to come to an old-fashioned revival in a modernistic church. They don't have them. They don't have revivals anymore. Let me ask you a question. What if John Wesley came back? What Methodist church would be glad to have him preach a revival campaign? Why, he excluded people from his church for talking worldly on the church ground. For instance, they were talking about crops and cows, and he said, look here, stop that foolishness or you are not fit to be in our church. We're here to worship God. Yeah. Why, dancing? Why, if he'd have had a Methodist back there to dance, why, they'd have been excluded like that, see? And dear friends, don't you bunch of self-righteous Baptists, we're going down the same road. Yeah. I mean fast, too. What if Billy Sunday were to come back out of the grave? What if he were to come back, and how many Presbyterian churches would really be glad to have him? If old Sam Jones stepped out of the grave over here at Cartersville, Georgia, and walked into the Methodist church, reckon how many people would like to have him preach a revival in the Methodist church? Why, he'd skin them and scald them and scathe them at the same time. Can you see how far we've drifted away? And yet, let me remind you of something now, lest you said, well, we don't want all that old-fashioned stuff. When we had that old-fashioned stuff, we had great people in America. Amen. We had prosperity. We had no broken homes, no divorces, no delinquent children, had no juvenile shelters. We didn't need them. And so before you turn out to be a smart aleck, we better get back to the ancient landmarks. We used to have people with character and honesty. Why, there was a time when people used to work for a living in America. Now then, Lord have mercy. The church is to have a head-on collision every day with the world. The church is different. She's got only one book. It's the Bible. That's her blueprint. Nothing else to go by. It was a sad day when we got away from this book in the church. Amen. I can remember in way back yonder when they began to have book reviews on Sunday nights, you know. Oh, they'd have some dear sister, brother to come from across the country, and he's going to review a certain book. And oh, the crowds would flock. That new stuff will work for a while, you know. Oh, they'll come in and say, wasn't that marvelous? Wasn't that a wonderful book review? Nobody got saved. I tell you something I want to say tonight, especially the preachers. Don't ever substitute anything for preaching. Amen. Brother, if God calls you to preach, get at it. Amen. And stay with it. And don't let anybody crowd you out of the pulpit. If your pulpit starts over there and over here, you own and operate all that part. Amen. I've had people come saying, now, Brother Roloff, we'd like to have the program. We'd like to put on a program next Wednesday night. I said, it'll have to come after I get through preaching. It'll probably be too late then. Now, that's all I know, really. That's all I know. I've preached. I said, we're going to have preaching Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We're going to have preaching. Every time we get together, we're going to preach. I'm not talking about sermonettes either. I'm not talking about devotionalizing somebody's little heart. I'm talking about preaching. And preachers, if we'll go back to preaching and we'll just preach and study and saturate our souls in the Word of God, I believe the people will be saved and blessed and strengthened, and we can grow some great churches around preaching, just preaching. Why, the old timers used to say, they didn't say you're going to Sunday school. They didn't say you're going to training union or WMU or brotherhood. They said, are you going to preaching? Did you go to preaching last Sunday? Oh, yeah, it was a great message, wasn't it? Boy, he sure preached, didn't he? Man, I tell you, he's a great preacher. He's talking about preaching. Do you know that? Amen. Now then, they talk about training union. How many of y'all have in training union? What are y'all running in Sunday school now? I understand you built a new plant over in your Sunday school. fiddle on all that. Brother, as much as you need a plant, why don't you plant the Word of God and preach the Word of God?
Amen.
Want to get people saved? Preach! God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The church is different because she's to be a preaching institution. I mean, there's one thing the church has got to have to live, and that's preaching. Just preaching, preaching, preaching. And you know, I still believe, because I know what preaching will do, and I know what, it's just nothing to do. They told me many years ago, and a fellow said, now, Brother Wolf, we want you to come and speak to the Optimist Club and the other clubs and so forth, but we prefer for you not to mention preaching or the gospel or the Bible. And I said, man, that's all I know anything about. I said, I'd come as empty as a barrel with both ends knocked out of it if you don't let me preach. And I said, y'all may not know, but that's exactly what y'all need. Listen, dear friends, don't let the people keep you from preaching and present the gospel. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone to believe it, to the Jew first. The church is different. It's different in that, now listen to this, it's the only institution on earth, name all your clubs and all the rest of them, don't have time to talk about them. It's the only thing that I know of that demands a new birth before you can get in it. You can join any club in town without being born again. You can be a member of anything on earth and you don't have to be born again. You don't have anybody saying, now wait a minute, before you get in our club, have you been born again? But I'll tell you one thing, you can't get in the New Testament church without being born again. The Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Church is different. It's different. Listen, the church is different. See, the church is not to have too many connections down here. Her connections are up yonder. I'll tell you another thing about the church. The church is different because she lives by faith and not by sight. And it was a sad day when we got more interested in subscribing the budget than we did praying about our needs. I believe that God will provide when you let God guide. And when He runs the church, He'll take care of the expenses of the church. The church is to live by faith. The most thrilling thing that I've ever learned in my life, and I didn't learn it at Baylor, I didn't learn it in the seminary, I didn't learn it in the classroom, I learned it out of the Bible, is to live by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. Four times God trumpeted out the truth and said, now, the just shall live by faith. Did you know the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God? Preachers, how many times have you gone down to church and said, well, Deacon Brown or Deacon so-and-so, will you lead us in prayer? And he said, now, Lord, help us to please Thee. Help us to have a service that'll be pleasing unto Thee. And may we live lives that are pleasing unto Thee. Have you heard that? Oh, you'd say, Brother Wolf, every Sunday. Well, I tell you what let's do. Let's just start living by faith and won't pray so much about it. If you want to please God in your preaching, preach by faith. You said, scare me to death. Not if you're full of the Word of God, all God got to do, turn on the hydrant. I mean, just turn the faucet on. I mean, if you full up, He could get something out of you. I mean, live by faith, preach by faith. I mean, operate by faith. That honors God. It's impossible, he said. That's a strong word. It's impossible to please God except by faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Living by faith.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.